are live en vivo. Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. Orale! Doing things a little bit out of order today. So, hey, you know what? But we're definitely going to be in order. I want to make sure, because to get things in order, we're almost to 400 YouTube subscribers. Please hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Por favor, hit that subscribe button. You're going to get alerts on great shows like this. So I'm gonna give a quick shout out. Dame Overboard, mi amiga. Yay. Mi amiga, welcome, 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 welcome. Hey, Gladys, I got to enjoy a great baseball game with Dame and Laquan Jones and Kendall Valenzuela recently.
I saw that picture. That was a great picture too.
That was a blast. Nothing like enjoying a glizzy gobbler with LQ. So that was awesome. But you know what, familia, let's just get into it. Our invitada, she is Gladys Louise Tyler. We met a little more than 6 months ago. We did a special cookout chat. So and just had a ball, and she had me on the Going for Two Live, and we'll talk about that, the podcast, which is still one of my favorite guest appearances that I've done all year. You're going to find her. Gosh, she's a dual threat all over the place. You're going to see her podcasting. You're going to see writing. She's on Going for Two Live. Those podcasts are legit. You're going to see her on Razzball and Gridiron Experts. So, familia, welcome in. Welcome in. And I love that she's rocking the 42. Rocking 42. Orale, Jackie. You're up in heaven. So, bienvenido, mi amiga, Gladys Louise Tyler. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I was so happy when you put the list down. I was like, oh my God, I hope it's not full. I would like to be on it. I'll take any day, anytime, anywhere.
It's perfect. It's perfect that it's here. And so, you know what? That's one of the things that I thought was great. I mean, this is, I love the relationships that are building because of the cookout. I wish you could have been with us at the expo, just seeing that picture, seeing all those faces, all those people who are just, you know, adding color, adding diversity to the fantasy sports and gaming industry. It's just, it makes me so happy.
I followed you guys. I was like, oh, like, who's Laquan? I think was like showing his outfits. Somebody was showing their outfits. I'm like, God, every time you go, I'm like, this is wonderful. And someone left their bar tab open. I'm like, that's pretty dangerous. But that's really great. And then the pictures of just people enjoying themselves and people talking about sports and people not saying, oh, so it's not a color thing. It's a fantasy sports thing. It's like, that's the best part of that expo. And it was a wonderful thing to be able to read and to hear all the stories about it.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to get you to one of the next ones, because it's a blast. It is a blast to get there. And the great thing is, I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, all barriers are really just eliminated at that point. I mean, everybody's just talking ball. And it's just, I mean, it's great. I mean, people add in their own little flavor here and there, but it's, and then when we were all together, you know, having drinks, it was spectacular. I've got to give another welcome in to,
Mr. Scampers. What up, kitty cat? How are you?
Oh my goodness, Mr. Scampers. How much did you spend on on Amari DiMercato in the Scott Fish Bowl? I think it was like, yo. And by the way, Mr. Scampers, Dame Overboard, also at the also made it to the expo this year. So they were mini celebrities. So it really was so much fun. So much fun. So I wanted to give a shout out that great guest appearance that you had me do. And
that was awesome.
You let me pick the yes, Scampers. You spent way too much. I think I think it was like two-thirds of your budget on a guy that's going to play 2 weeks. No, he's probably going to deliver for the next 4 weeks. It's going to be good. You always make good investments, except for quarterbacks, but we won't get into that. But you know what, when you let me pick that topic, and we talked about we did the draft for all-time running backs, there were some deep cuts in there. Yeah. There were some deep I think you had Steve Van Buren in that one. So
Yeah, it was fun. I just go for it. When we do those kind of drafts, I just go for people I don't think anyone else would go for, because I don't want to be stuck at the end going, I don't have anyone. So yeah, I go for, yeah.
Oh, we love all four-legged things. Yes, all four-legged things are welcome, welcome, welcome. Hopefully, I'm hoping my dog Dino sleeps through this. So he's zonked out on the couch right now. So he's in his heavenly place.
Missy is the spawn of Satan. She's not going to sleep through anything.
So you've got the four. Oh, by the way, Dame 54 in
54%.
No, $54. 54 out of, well, yeah, 54 out of $100 budget. So I don't know how much she had left. Did you have any big numbers spent on Amari DeMarcado in waivers today?
No, I'm really not, like, unless I absolutely need someone, I usually stay pat with who I have. Unfortunately, in one league, I had Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson and didn't realize, for some reason, I did not realize when I drafted that it was a super flex. So those were the only two quarterbacks I had. So I went into last week with no quarterback because they were all taken. I was like, who took Zach Wilson? Who did that? And but I won. It was really weird because the guy had, like, people that just fell. The person I played, he had, I think, just about everyone that got injured was on his team. And I was like, oh, I don't like injuries, but yeah, I'll take this. I'll take this win.
You take the win.
Who did I spent the most on? Not DeMarcado. I think Gardner Minshew. I think I spent a lot of dollars on Gardner Minshew because I needed a quarterback really bad.
I saw Minshew go for some major bucks in one of my in a super flex league. It was nuts.
I haven't checked. So I don't check till tomorrow because all the super flex, all the waivers are done, and I have a feeling I didn't spend enough. I'm always afraid that I'm like at the end. Like, I'm already out in one league. I have no money left because my team is so bad. I'm 0-5, and I have no money for waivers. And I'm like,
That's just bad. That sucks. I'm sorry.
I know. It's like one of the local leagues, too, with, like, all the boys that went to school together. And I won it, like, three times, and they're like, yeah, if you win it one more time, you can't play. And I'm like, that's a weird rule.
Does that mean you get elevated to another league? Is that what it is?
Exactly. So now I'm like 0-5 and they're all like, hey, what happened? I'm like, stop talking to me about it.
So you've got that beautiful cap on with that glorious number that, I'm gonna take you back. And since Dame Overboard and Mr. Scampers are both Dodger fans, they're going to appreciate this one. So probably about, I'd say, probably about 2009, 2010. This was when I was working for the Dodgers. I somehow got an invite to have lunch. We had invited Duke Snyder to the legendary Hall of Famer for the Dodgers, Hall of Fame center fielder, to come to Dodger Stadium. He was going to talk to minor leaguers. This was like in January before that season. So it was a quiet day at the stadium. And what happened was it just so happened that Don Newcomb, the also legendary Dodger, his teammate, he'd come to the stadium, and then we're like, Duke, Nuke, you guys want to let's all go have lunch. So a couple other people, and we're watching this, and then Duke and Nuke start telling Jackie stories, I've told the Newcomb story that I don't think he told it at that lunch, but he told him that his most famous one was Don Newcomb was having dinner with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King.
Oh my gosh!
As he said, exactly 28 days before Dr. King was assassinated, and Dr. King looked at him and he said, Don, I can't tell you how much you and Jackie and Roy did, how it made my job easier. And Nuke is sitting there thinking, like, wait a second. This is a man who was arrested. He had police officers hitting him over the head with a billy club. He had a police dog sicked on him. They had, like, they shot fire hoses at them when they were doing peaceful protests. And he says, I made his job easier. But yeah, so, and this was 28 days before that day, in April. But, just glorious, just incredible to hear. Whenever I talked to Mr. Newcomb, he just was, it was like being a part of, being having a window seat to the civil rights movement, just the stories that he could tell. Duke Snider talked about the time that Jackie won a game without hitting a ball. And what happened was, so Jackie was leading off, bottom of the ninth, tie ball game. And Jackie knew, and Jackie was leading off, Duke was batting second. So Jackie knew that the pitcher had rabbit ears. So Jackie, you know, when he got to the batter's box, talked a little trash to the pitcher. Pitcher decides to come inside. Jackie clips Jackie on the elbow. Jackie doesn't rub. He's going, as he's walking to first base, he says, "I'm going to steal second. I'm going to steal third. I'm going to steal home." And so Jackie's off, big lead off of first. Pick off throw. One of them gets away from the first baseman. Jackie glides to second base. So Jackie's now takes an even bigger lead because he's on second. And he just flies first pitch, steals third easy. So now Jackie's on third base, nobody out. Duke, left-handed hitter, he's giving him a clear path to home plate. And he's just saying, and Jackie's just dancing off third base. I'm going. Pitcher throws one in the dirt, gets past the catcher. Jackie flies home. Game over. So this is straight from the Hall, you know, from one Hall of Famer about another Hall of Famer.
So awesome.
So yeah, it's an incredible story. I think I'm gonna have to clip that one out and tell it to and put it on as its own solo episode.
But you should. That's awesome.
Yeah. So Gladys, I want, you know, one of the things. Now I always let the guests pick the games that we're gonna break down, and you chose the AFC North because you're a big Steelers fan.
I am.
And so you shared with me an incredible story before we went on air. But I wanted to get kind of like your thoughts on kind of the state of the Steelers coming off a win against the Ravens, which really was like a bare knuckle brawl.
Totally
because of the defense. That defense at home is just, they're different. What is kind of like, do you have an assessment on the team so far?
So far, yeah. I think that if they play a juggernaut offense, they're going to be in trouble, even with the defense that they have, because the defense can only, like, if you're going three and out, like on 54% of your, no, I think it's higher than that. I think it was 63% of their downs, the Pittsburgh offense goes three and out. Your defense is on the field way too much, and TJ Watt has and Highsmith have that motor, but you can't expect them to cover for you, and that's basically what they're doing. The defense is covering for the offense. Now, whether it's all Matt Canada's fault, I don't think so. I think Kenny Pickett has to shoulder some of the blame for it, but the stats of how, like, what Matt Canada's stats are for as long as he's been a Steeler OC aren't good. So he's not a great offensive coordinator. He's not even really a good offensive coordinator. And until Mike Tomlin, who you have to kind of give a nod to for the loyalty that he is exhibiting, although he's doing it at his own peril, you have to cut him loose. You have to see what else you have, what else is out there, what else is good. I don't think the defense can win every game for them. And I think that, unfortunately, this year, the AFC North is a division that can be taken. I mean, there's no one that's excelling in that division by far. It doesn't look good, and it should look a lot better, is my assessment of them. They should be, and whether it's put Trubisky in, would that help? I doubt it, because he's already, everybody, we already know what we have in Trubisky. So I think a lot of people should shoulder the blame, and unfortunately, it's all falling on Canada. But the defense isn't going to win you the games. It's just not.
No, it's tough. It's tough. Quick shout out to our buen amigo, Chris Allen. Mi amigo, thank you. Thank you for putting the cookout together. And yeah, exactly. as we told you in Canton, you helped make this and brought us together, brought so many of us together. So muchas gracias, mi amigo. Muchas gracias. I can't hug you enough when I see you. But yeah, you're right. You're so right. And you know, the tough thing, I mean, one of the preseason predictions that I'm wearing right now is that I said that Najee Harris was going to be a top 10 running back. And mm-hmm. And it's just I just always looked at the volume that in Mike Tomlin offenses and the fact that he was healthy. I know Jalen Warren had flashed, but I still thought that Najee would get 300 touches and, you know, receptions and as well as rushing attempts. And it's becoming a timeshare, but I think it's very clear that Jalen Warren has a little bit different gear than Najee. So hopefully Deontay Johnson coming back helps.
I know that Warren is outperforming Najee right now in PPR leagues. Like Warren is, he's a top five PPR, but I mean, it's hard to rely on your run game when you start a game like 14-0, you're already behind by two touchdowns. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't. And that's nothing on the defense. I mean, an interception, three and out, you're giving them good field position. There's nothing the defense can do about that.
No, they're doing their job. They're doing their job. So, yeah, you know, three turnovers by the end of safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. I mean, I think the blame needs to be kind of like, it's five games in, so there's still 12 more to go. So we'll see, you know, what kind of growth this team does after the bye, which sometimes comes at the right time for teams. So we're definitely going to see. We're going to see. But you're right about this division being winnable because everybody's got a little something. The Ravens have had a lot of injuries. The Browns right now, we'll talk about the Browns. They've got, they've got a very significant injury. Well, two significant injuries, the one for Nick Chubb and then also the one currently with Deshaun Watson. And the Bengals just got off to such a horrendous start that they're digging out of a hole. So, you're right. This is winnable. I mean, they could go 9-8 and win this division.
Yeah.
So it's very true. Very true. Oh, well, you know what, mi amiga? Let's get into it a little bit because there's been a lot of injury talk already going on about everything. So we can, you know, everything's already been discussed out there. And anybody who hasn't seen it, make sure you're checking out the Injury Prone podcast that I do with Dr. Porras. So make sure that, you know, subscribe. He does a solo show on Tuesdays, little snippets here and there. And we also do a show every Friday after all the practice reports, most of the practice reports are in. So, but when we talked about doing this show, we looked at some different, you know, you picked four games that you wanted to lock in on. One, the first one being Broncos at the Chiefs. So that one, Thursday Night Football special on prime time. Well, you're in Colorado, so you're all about that. You're all about Coach Prime right now. The whole state is about Coach Prime.
Coach Prime, right now, is something good. NHL starting, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's the great confluence of this time of year. You got football season. You know, that's you know, high gear. Baseball playoffs are happening, which I'm going to jump over to the Braves, the Braves game after we're done. And then hockey just started. NBA is about to start. They're all coming together. There'll at the same time.
Finals going on. Yeah, this is like a great time. It's like there's a sport everywhere.
WNBA finals. Yes, exactly. Thank you for reminding me about that. Yes, yes. My Sparks didn't quite make it, but no, I saw a game with them at the Liberty, and the Liberty is different. The Liberty is a different team.
Yeah,
they're a different team. So, but yeah, Broncos at the Chiefs. So the Broncos are going into enemy territory. It's at Kansas City. Kansas City is 10.5-point favorites, 47.5 over under. That's, it's going to be a nice day. It's going to be 76 degrees, possible chance of some rain showers, a little bit of wind, maybe 22 miles an hour, which according to our amigo Chris Allen, at 25 miles an hour is when you got to start worrying about it. So okay. let's look at the Broncos side right now. They're going to need to score some points because we know that defense is just bad. They're bad against the run. They're bad against the pass. So, that's why I have Patrick Mahomes on one of my most prominent teams, my Scott Fishbowl team. I think that team's going to score some points this week. But on the Broncos side first. Oh yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish. I'm sorry.
Well, on the Broncos side first, you're in Colorado. What's been kind of like the public, the general feeling in the public and the media about, you know, the first five games with Coach Payton?
So the general feeling is that Peyton hasn't really taken responsibility for any of the losses, which is kind of weird. Do you know what I mean? But
yes.
The general feeling is that it's not that the players are losing confidence in him. It's that the team is losing confidence in itself. Like you have a defense that was really good last year. Like the defense was would kept them in some of the games or kept the games close anyway. And they didn't lose that many players on the defense if they lost any at all. And they're notorious. They're historically bad. The defense is historically bad. Peyton bought back in Vance Joseph, which has to be an awkward situation anyway, because he was the head coach and he brings him back as a DC and the defense now cannot hold its own. And he remains the defensive coordinator. He gave up 70 points to a team. Should have given up more. Mike was like, "Yeah, no, we're not gonna kick that. We're not gonna go for it. You guys are okay." So, and then last week, Breece Hall just ran over them. Like it wasn't even competitive. It didn't feel like it's a competitive game, which is very sad because even though I'm a Steeler fan, living here, Broncos fans are notoriously loyal and notoriously wanting their team to win. And the fan base itself is kind of, the Avalanche are starting to play, you know, CU's doing good. So there's nowhere to turn. Like, I don't see them coming, even if they win tomorrow against KC, which I highly, highly doubt that happens. The loss against the Jets, I think, will be a brutal loss and a stain on Peyton, if not the whole team. Like that he thought himself big enough to mouth off about another team and call another coach out and then not beat them. I don't know if you recover from that. You know, I don't know, like, I think a lot of us, a lot of times we think of players and we think of teams like Madden tools, like they're,
yeah.
But these are people that they're people and they hear things and they see things and they know things and they feel things. And everyone in that locker room knows what he said. And everyone in the locker room knows he couldn't beat Nathaniel Hackett. His defense could not beat Nathaniel Hackett's offense. And Nathaniel's offense was with Zach Wilson. It wasn't even with Aaron Rodgers. Like, I was giving him points for Aaron Rodgers, but he beat him with Zach Wilson because Breece Hall ran up and down that field like it was nothing. So I think it's just a general kind of malaise here. It's just kind of like, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. One of the leagues I'm in, the league I'm 0-5, there's one guy that's a huge Detroit Lions fan. He's been a Detroit Lions fan his whole life. And all the other guys are Broncos fans. And they're just conceding to him now. They're just like, we were in that chat, but they're like, yeah, we'll, because the bet at the beginning of the season was who would have the better record. And they're just like giving them the money now. They're like, just here, go. Here's the 50. Just go do what you want. So it's even these diehard Bronco fans are kind of like, what are we going to do? Because Peyton's not going anywhere for sure. Like, the next one is Russell Wilson. And I would not be surprised if he gets benched at all.
But he's not playing horrible.
He's not playing horrible, but Peyton has to blame someone other than himself.
Oh, well, you can blame the defense. I mean, Russ, I saw that he has four games with multiple TDs and 200-300-yard games. I mean, he's going to have to bring it. And he had good games against the Chiefs last year. Could we be looking at another 300-yard game just for him trying to keep up? Because we'll talk about Kansas City in a second.
Well, Russ has been like quarterback 9, like consistently through this season. Yeah. Like he's not dropped out of the top 10. Last year I looked up against the Chiefs, the first time he played them, he had 247 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, and he was sacked 6 times. The second time he had 222 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, and he was sacked 4 times. Do I think that he can get to 300 yards against this Chiefs defense? Not with Chris Jones. Not with the pressure that Chris Jones is going to put on him. No, I think that the pressure is going to be too much. That the offensive line was better, was holding up, but I think Bowles is hurt and the McClinty hasn't really been at full strength. So, no, I don't think he'll get. I think he'll play admirably. I don't think it'll be Russ's fault for the loss again, but I don't think he'll get to 300 yards. Unfortunately, because I'm going to put him in my showdown slate. It's the only Bronco I can trust.
Really?
Yeah. He's the only Bronco I trust. I mean, the Chiefs are pretty good against the run.
Yeah.
And plus, you don't know who Peyton's going to throw out there. And then Judy, Cortland Sutton. If I thought he would consistently play Marvin Mims, I would have Marvin Mims in there all day long. But he won't. Yes. I don't know why. I'm like, why?
And he drafted him. Drafted him.
Exactly. He's your guy.
Yes.
You have Troutman out there. You have McClendon out there. You have the kicker out there. Put in Mims, please.
Your first offensive player that you drafted. And he makes big plays.
Yeah.
He makes big plays. That's a tough. I didn't even put Marvin Mims on here, with the idea of Judy. Yeah, Judy and Sutton. It's going to be a rough game. Because that defense and that defensive line is so spectacular. Now, are you at all tempted to start Jaleel McLaughlin?
On a DFS slate,
I
have him in season long, and he is my RB2 because he's the only because it's a necessity, but. My expectations aren't that high. And it's not McLaughlin that my expectations aren't that high. It's the offensive scheme around him that my expectations aren't that high. Like if he starts doing well, is P. Ryan going to come in and take over some of the passing downs and some of the rushing downs? So I like McLaughlin, but the offense doesn't seem to have a personality or a cohesive system to go through. Like if McLaughlin starts doing well, P. Ryan comes in. If Mims starts doing well, Judy or Cortland Sutton come in. There's no let's ride the hot hand going on there. It's let me be way too cute and nothing is working. And it's not. So I am starting McLaughlin in season long. I don't know. I mean, I might start him because I know I'm not going to play Kelsey because I think he's hurt. So I'll have an extra space. So maybe. I'll put him in with Russ, but I don't know. DFS. I think that would be like kind of a wasted spot of Kansas City player that like Rasheed Rice or something that I could put in. It's going to break the slate. Hopefully she says.
Well, he's got to run more than 8 routes. So yeah. To do that, I'd love to see that. Cause I think, I don't know if any receiver is really stepping up anytime soon because it and you mentioned that that Kelsey playing through an ankle injury after he had the knee injury to start the season, so it's tough now. But in a DFS slate, a captain
showdown
in a showdown slate, I mean, gosh, is there any other person to play in the captain spot than Mahomes tomorrow?
I'm playing Isaiah Pacheco in mine.
What a brilliant idea. Oh, my goodness. You just opened my mind. Yes, of course. Of course.
Yeah, I'm playing Pacheco.
Save the money. I'm
playing Mahomes, but not in the captain slate. Because didn't he get hurt too in the last game? Shoulder or something?
No? What, Mahomes?
Uh-huh. I thought he like limped.
Yeah, but it wasn't anything. It wasn't anything.
But big. The way the Broncos defense is opening up for running backs, Pacheco's getting like what 30. What do I have? He's got 39 snaps last week.
Yeah, I'm
playing Pacheco in my captain spot.
Yeah, he's clearly the guy right now. So yeah. And he's running routes. He's running more routes than Jerick McKinnon, who's supposed to be the pass game specialist.
Yeah.
So I think it's a fantastic call. I think and actually saving the money and putting Mahomes, and then you know with some of the pass catchers, I still want to play Kelce because I think Kelce's one. You know Edwin loves to call it the TDIH and analytic, that dog in him. So, the new analytic. But yeah, Kelce is that guy, and so I think he'll fight through stuff and get
What if they don't need him? Like my fear is they're going to get out ahead, so far ahead, like by the half, that they won't want to risk it.
Yeah, I mean they could be up 28-7 at halftime. I totally
easily.
Agree. Totally agree.
I mean, it would be hard to sit Kelce because he's one of those people that if you sit him and he goes off, you're like, duh.
It's Travis Kelce.
What did I expect?
It's so funny. What's the are we more than 50-50 chance that Taylor Swift is in the house for this
one? Oh, my God. I don't know. I love Taylor Swift. I think she's a great artist and a remarkable businesswoman, but I do not want to see Taylor Swift in the box dancing when I can see the players, what dance they performed on the field after they make a touchdown. I'm so annoyed by that. That's what annoys me the most. I'm like, I don't care. We know she can dance. We've seen her show. Let me see the players.
I'm a big fan. Hopefully she's there. I mean, I know the Amazon folks really, really hope that she's there. So that, that would just be beyond the wildest dreams. So,
especially she comes down and talks to like Marshawn. If Marshawn Lynch can get an interview with Taylor Swift, that would be the most awesome thing ever.
I hope at the end he gives her a bag of Skittles or something.
Exactly. That would be so awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, so let's pick this game. So are you picking I think we both got the Chiefs winning. Do they cover 10.5 points?
Yes.
I'm with you on that one.
At home,
100% with you on that one. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Good call. Good call. All right. Oh. So, also wanted to give a quick hello to one of our regular viewers, Alberto Marroquin. Gracias for joining us. Muchas gracias. Okay. All right. So it is time to go to Ravens at Titans, the Ravens who just got beat up by your Steelers in a London game, an early game. It's 7:30 your time, right? That game starts? Yeah,
7:30 Mountain Time.
Yeah, you get a little cornflakes in you. And
Coffee infused day.
What?
Coffee infused day. Start the coffee at 6. Don't stop.
Oh man! Oh, you don't even want to do like one glass of tea, you know, for the England for the London game. So maybe iced tea.
Even iced tea. I don't understand tea. I don't understand it at all.
Oh man! All right. Well, Ravens and Titans. This is kind of like an easier kind of game because you get the Ravens are 4-point favorites, and it's not. I mean, we call it at Titans, but it's a London game. 41. It's 41 over under. So we're expecting low volume. These two teams do like to run. It's expected to be 52 degrees and clear, so it's perfect football weather. So the this year coming in, the Titans had more of a reputation as pass funnel defense.
Right.
Great against the run. Awful against the pass, but they've come back a little bit. They're the number 11 defense against quarterbacks this year. They have allowed 300-yard passing games to Derek Carr and Justin Herbert. So, but they did shut down Joe Burrow a couple weeks ago, where the pass rush just was in his face. could, I mean, we've kind of been waiting for kind of for the Todd Monken offense to really take hold with Lamar. I think people were looking at this game, but yeah, now seeing how the Titans, when their pass rush gets home, that defense really, really is tough. Could this be a game where Lamar has to do it just as much with his legs as with his arm?
I think that is kind of what I'm counting on. Like, the Titans have only given up 6.2 yards per game to rushing to a quarterback, but they haven't really played. Like, they played Anthony Richardson, who got hurt, so yeah, his stats don't really count. Burrow had the calf injury. His stats don't count. Watson's not really – Watson and Herbert, neither of them are really known for their rushing this season. So I think that that's where the Ravens are going to get their points, because they are – I think they're 22nd or they're in the 20th in yards over 20-plus. So when he's throwing him, he's dinking him off, and they're not getting yards after catch if they're not dropping the ball completely. ODB is probably out for this game, I think. He's not playing. That Zay Flowers. I like to think that because these people are people, that they will throw the ball a lot more and the receivers will catch it because they are ashamed of what they did last week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, So many drops. I think it was like a record 7 drops or 5 drops and two in the end zone. But, and they were like not drops because they were contact drops. They were just not catching the ball. It was really kind of a weird sort of thing going on. I call it the Pittsburgh mojo, but that might not be what it was. But I think that Lamar will have to use his legs. I think that he will get over 100 rushing yards in this game, and probably around 200, 220 passing yards. I don't think this game is going to be close. I think people are kind of up on the Titans because Tannehill did have that 200-plus yard game that no one expected him to have, and D-Hop is better, which is good because the Ravens secondary is a little bit beat up. But the Ravens went early over to London. They traveled earlier than the Titans did, so they could get acclimated. And I think that counts. I think we saw last week that matters. Like, Buffalo looked tired. Like, you could tell that the time change had gotten to them. Whereas Jacksonville, because they had been there for 2 weeks, were like, we're home. We're good.
Yeah, exactly. It was a home game for them.
Exactly. So I think that it helps, A, that the Ravens have gone earlier and are acclimating themselves to the time. And I think that their defense can be had by a rushing quarterback. I think if Anthony Richardson had stayed in the game, he would have at least got 75 yards rushing on it.
I agree. I think this one, yeah, I think we're going to need like a special Lamar performance to really get through the Titans, because yeah, they are tightening up a little bit. Right with pass. And looking at those 300-yard passing games early in the season, it's got me thinking that they could still get beat, but it's gonna be a matter of who. But looks like we got a comment in the chat that I want to get in there. Yes, we do need that Marshawn. Really need that Marshawn and T Swift. That would just be gold. That would be absolute gold. So I've got an interesting conundrum I've got Lamar on a team and Zay Flowers, but with two flexes available, my starting receivers are Tyreek Hill and AJ Brown. I've got three receivers that are all pretty even: Brandon Ayuk, Chris Godwin, Zay Flowers. Can you give me two you're starting?
So, the 49ers are playing the Browns.
That's a really good secondary.
That's a good secondary, and they give up – when they give up receiving yards, it's not to the wide receiver one, it's to the wide receiver two. So, Chris Godwin – if Mike Evans is still hurt, Chris Godwin would be my shoo-in.
Yes.
And I'm playing Zay Flowers in a couple leagues because I think – I like to – like, I like stats. I like numbers, but I also like to think about the human element. And I say Flowers is a rookie. Lamar never got on him when he dropped those balls. He was like, they know. And I have a feeling that he wants to redeem himself. So I think that, and two, we have to understand that this is a new offense. The Todd Monken offense isn't an offense that they came into, you know, and Lamar had that holdout. I mean, he was there for training camp, but he didn't have the whole full preseason. So I think that they're just getting acclimated to the Todd Monken offense too. And perhaps this, you know, five games in, six games in, you're getting used to it. I would play Zay Flowers. Like he's been on, like last week he was on the field for like 98.6% of the offensive snaps. I mean, if you're on the field that much, you're going to get targeted. He had 11 targets, two and three are within 20 yards. I'm playing it against, I mean, Tennessee has been better against the pass, but it's still a Mike Vrabel offense, defense, and they want to stop the run. And that's what Justice Hill, Gus Edwards, don't even get me started because I played the wrong one last week.
this week against the Titans, who are a very good run defense, I believe. What did I have them at? Where do I have them? I've got the sheet here.
They're allowing like 13.6 fantasy points and 82 total yards to the running back. It's
so. Yeah. So yeah, they're still good. Where are they? They are number 15 against running backs. And I think a lot of that was because Zach Moss just went ballistic last week, and then that was the first time that they'd given up 100-yard rushers since game one of last year. So I'm looking at those two. Is Justice Hill a little bit more of a play just because he's got that pass game work?
Justice Hill offensive snaps went up 20%. Who would predict that from week four to week five? He went up 20% that he's on the field, and Gus Edwards wasn't hurt. Like I would have totally understood and totally forgiven Harbaugh if Gus Edwards was hurt. He is in an unforgivable place for me right now, where Gus Edwards has stayed like in the mid 40s on his snap percentage. Yeah, I'm playing Justice Hill over Gus Edwards when I have the choice, just because Justice Hill seems to be trending up and he has the passing, which I think that is going to happen a lot. So I would play Justice Hill over Gus Edwards, yes. But of course, keep in mind that I played Gus Edwards over Justice Hill last week. So you know, my thought process might not be all that great.
I think the one place where Gus Edwards gets him is, you know, he's the bigger back, so he's the more likely guy to take the short yardage and the goal line work. So maybe that's in his favor. But really, I feel like everything else is in Justice Hill's favor. I think he's, you know, he definitely catches more balls, runs more routes. So that's good. On the Titans side, I mean, I look at them and it's like just. Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins. I feel like those are the only guys to start.
Yeah, that's it's because you can't trust Ryan Tannehill. Like if you could trust Ryan Tannehill, NIH would be a good start. He had the same amount of targets last week as D-Hop. He just didn't perform as well as D-Hop, but who does? So I'm not starting him, but I would start D-Hop against the Ravens secondary. I mean, if they're behind, they're going to have to throw. You're not going to ever sit Derrick Henry, no matter what.
No.
What, you know. So, yeah, D-Hop solo, if you're playing DFS. I have Ryan Tannehill in a league that's a super flex, and the only reason I play him is because it's a super flex.
Yeah.
And that's all I have. So, I have no problem starting D-Hop against the Ravens secondary because he's pretty much – even now, he's pretty much matchup proof. If he had a better quarterback, he would definitely be matchup proof.
Yeah.
But, you know, 11 targets is pretty tasty. And it's 11 targets in a game that I think that the Ravens are going to be a more competitive game. So he might have to get more targets. So I like D-Hop this week.
Yeah. I think, you know, he's got that contested catch. I think he's coming back. Yeah. I mean, didn't it feel like people were writing him off way too quickly?
He was hurt. Like, yeah. I don't think we knew he was hurt. That's that whole, like, Breece Hall's not on a snap count. Did anyone know he was on a snap count? Like, yeah. I never heard that. And I didn't know that D-Hop was hurt. He was hurt, like, the first three games. So, yeah, I think people were writing him off way too quickly. And they are going to regret it because he contested catches. He's, like, the man. Like, his hands are remarkable. Oh, I just remember that catch was against Seattle in the end zone where he went up and, like, two Seattle guys went up and he come down with the ball. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. He's great.
He is so graceful. And so, those jump balls, he's something spectacular, spectacular. Love watching him play when he's right. And thankfully it looks like he's right. And it's great. Nice. That it's a nice narrowly focused offense. You know, we're just talking about Henry. We're just talking, maybe Tajay Spears is an option. The Ravens are good against the run, but but Spears gets some work in the passing game and everything. So, there's some possibility, you know, there's maybe a flex play. Luckily only two teams are on bye, one of them being your Steelers. So the Packers being the other one. So
and there's not really many offense players. The sad thing was during preseason, didn't you hear a lot of talk about the tight end, like running routes and he's like been kind of non-existent. Is that a Tannehill thing too?
I think that was the thing. And I have so much Chigakonkwo. So much. I have him all over. I cut him in one league and he's getting benched all over the place.
Yeah.
Scott Fishbowl. I think he's now my third tight end. I think I drafted four of them and I think I'm starting two right now. So rough.
Oh, it was against the Bills. Thank you, Mr. Scampers.
Yes.
Cats are so smart.
Well, like we said, we got, four-legged animals. Yes. Yes. Nuke really is incredible, mi amigo. Oh, my goodness. We got two more games to talk about. Seahawks at Bengals. This game has some sneaky shootout possibility. Yes. It's in Cincinnati. Looks like it's, you know, there's a little bit chance of rain, but, it's mid-50s, 2.5-point favorite for the Bengals, Chris Allen's Bengals, and it's a 45 over under right now. The tough part is Geno Smith, he was QB5 last year, and now all of a sudden he, people had the expectations for him, and he's averaging the same number of points per game as Desmond Ridder. As crazy as that is. So, are you thinking about, if you've got him coming off the bye, which traditionally teams look better off the bye, but in a game that's got, that looks like it could have a good offensive environment. What's your thought process on starting or sitting him?
On Geno Smith?
Yes.
I am sitting Geno Smith. Playing his weapons.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, love that.
I can't sit DK Metcalf no matter what happens. Kenneth Walker, I think, has a path to greatness in this game. So the Bengals allowed Nick Chubb when he was healthy. They played in week one, 5.9 yards per carry. They allowed Gus Edwards 6.2 yards per carry. They allowed King Henry 5.5 yards per carry. They allowed Connor 7.7 yards per carry. They're not, it's like a bend, don't break kind of thing going on there. And I think, I think Walker and Metcalf have both, because I think the game's going to be high scoring. I even without Higgins, I think the game is going to be high scoring. I would go over on the 46.5 or 46 now. But if we believe that Burrow's back, that's the caveat. Like, was last week an aberration to what he could do? Like, he just, because Chase was like, I'm always open and Bro was like, yeah, you are, and I'm going to throw every ball to you.
And he was.
And he was. Or is he healthy now? And in the past, like, two seasons, Burrow hadn't played preseason, and they started off slow. They started off 0-2 both. This season, they start off 0-2, but he also came in with that calf injury. So if the calf is better, I think the slow start is expected, right? Because he didn't play in preseason. He's limping around in the first two games, so that's not even like he is acclimating himself during the season. So now he's getting to where he would have been had he been healthy. So I think he had 49 passing attempts week three, 30 passing attempts against that Tennessee, and then 46. So he's averaging like 40 passing attempts, 40 plus passing attempts.
I'll take that.
Yeah, Seattle's going to have to keep up. I wouldn't start Geno because I fear that when he hits in that zone where he has to keep up, like the last game last season with the LA Rams, he makes mistakes because he wants to do too much. And so the interceptions start to come in and the fumbles start to come in and the drop, you know, so I'm not playing Geno, but I do think DK Metcalf has at least two touchdowns. And I think Walker has at least one walk in and one passing touchdown, but I still don't think they're going to win that game. But, I mean, I think it's going to be really a really interesting game to play. And just FYI, play Tyler Boyd. That's how Seattle is getting beat. Seattle's getting beat by Bobby LaMarco does a slot versus wide, and ooh. Seattle Seattle has scored is giving away the most points to the wide receiver, and it's 45-55. 45 points to the slot, 55 position to the wide. That means both Boyd and Chase are just going to eat that. They're going to eat that defense if Burrow's healthy. Play Tyler Boyd. He's not been good for you unless you're in PPR, but he will be.
Oh man, for the as Chris says, my one game back in the division Bengals. So yes. I've been sitting on that one. So that's awesome. Gracias, mi amigo. Gracias. That's awesome. I mean, you know, that's the question. You asked the question about, you know, is Burrow healthy? Could it just be that he's healthy enough? And yeah. And you know, the previous week against the Titans, the pass rush got in because the pass rush was overwhelming. That defensive front for the Titans is overwhelming. But last week in Arizona, it wasn't so much. Seahawks are a little bit, you know, maybe they're not as good as they're definitely don't have the front seven like the Titans. But that's gonna, if Burrow has time and they keep him clean, he's going to have a party. He's going to have a party. And in fact, I already have Jamar Chase in a DFS lineup for this weekend, because I think I've got Chase and Hill. I went cheap other places, but I think it's Chase, Hill, and DJ Moore. And I went bottom barrel, everywhere else. So, that one could be fun. That one could be fun. And Joe Mixon, though, the Seahawks are good. I mean, but really, how can anybody think? I mean, even though it's a really, really tough matchup for them, the Seahawks are, you know, they're tougher against the run. They're 16th against the running backs, 28th against the wide receivers. So a little bit tougher, but I mean, there's no way you're sitting Joe Mixon, right?
I actually would. He hasn't had a 100-yard rushing game. He's averaging 3.9 yards per carry. It's 84 attempts on 84 attempts. I think that if Burrow is good, he's going to pass the ball. I mean, I don't – against the Seahawks defense, Bobby Wagner and all, I don't – is it in Seattle? Oh, it's in Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati, yes.
I have to change that. No, he hasn't had a 100-yard rushing game. His average is below four. He hasn't got it going yet. And I think there are better matchups this week than Mixon against Seattle that I would like to play.
Yeah, it's tough to, you know, think about him in a DFS lineup. this weekend.
Yeah, I have no parts of him. I didn't draft him at all in any of my. I went zero running back strategy, which is kind of biting me in the ass right now. But so I don't have any top tier running back. The ones I have are hurt. Barkley, the only one I have, and he's hurt. So I went. My running backs are bereft of talent. No one in the NFL is bereft of talent, but compared to the top tier running backs, they lag behind slightly.
Honestly, right now it's like, you know, in the first couple rounds, unless you got Christian McCaffrey and Bijan Robinson, it's tough sledding for you.
Yeah.
Real tough. It looks like it was week 9 the last time that Joe Mixon was got a 100-yard game. Wow. 100-yard rushing game. So that we're talking almost a calendar year, you know, us being in week 6 right now. So all right, prediction time. It's, you know, we talked about the point spread in this one. Bengals 2.5, which is always interesting on that one. And the 45 over under. Are you which side? Are you Bengals cover or Seahawks?
I'm going on the belief that Joe Burrow is healthy, and I am going the Bengals cover and over.
Ooh, fantastic. I can't disagree. Cannot disagree. I think it's a good call. I think it's a really, really good call. Yeah, Bengals and the over, because I think it's gonna be a field goal game. And so that's gonna be the difference right there. All right. One more game.
Yay. I'm excited about this game. I mean, I don't think it's gonna be a high scoring game, but I think it's strength against strength. And that always excites me.
That's the thing. 49ers at the Browns, two of the best defenses, two of the best pass rushes. The Browns have a spectacular secondary. The 49ers just dismantled a very good defense, and the Cowboys 42-10 on Sunday night football. It's now they're playing, and now it's very important. It's a West Coast team playing in the early windows, so they're playing at the 10 o'clock body clock time. But really, Brock Purdy, could he be playing any better than he is? He's a QB10, 9 touchdown passes, over 1,200 passing yards. I mean, geez, 4 games with over 2 touchdowns, and he had that big 4 touchdowns against the Cowboys. Can you think of 12 starters, 12 quarterbacks you'd rather start in fantasy right now over him?
No, I cannot.
I don't think so.
Not at all. I can't think of, like, maybe 7. I would rather start over him.
Ooh, wow. That's fantastic.
I mean, he's the safe floor, right? Yeah. Like, he might not get you 30 points, but he's not going to hurt you. He's not going to hurt you with interceptions and turnovers. So, yeah, I can't. I would – there's 7. He'd be like 8, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah.
Plus, he has all those weapons. He's like – I mean, you have Ayuk, you have Samuel, you have Kittle, you have CMC. I don't know how anyone could not succeed in that offense.
You know, it's one of those things. You know, another baseball term, Dusty Baker once. We talked about a guy, and Dusty said, you know what? Yeah, the fastball is coming in. Yes, he's expecting the fastball. He's still got to hit it. So it's one of people are saying, oh, it's an easy offense. It's an easy offense. Whatever, but. He's playing it better. He's playing quarterback better than any Shanahan quarterback, yeah. Kyle Shanahan quarterback since Matt Ryan in his MVP year. So he's still got to do it, and he's doing it.
He's so, not making mistakes.
No.
And exactly. He's getting the ball down the field. And it's not like – I mean, I think their passing to rushing is like 55 or 60, 63 yeah. to 40 or something. But it doesn't matter. He's still getting the ball down the field. Kittle had like, what, 3 passing touchdowns?
Yes.
And, you know, and he's not doing it on his own. What did Giselle famously said? Tom can't throw it and catch it at the same time. So, you know, it's the same thing. Someone's throwing him the ball. Someone's throwing Kittle the ball. Someone's handing it off to CMC in a way that people aren't sure. Like, you can't stack the box because Purdy can throw. So you can't discount him. Yeah, I'm sad that people try to discount him, and I'm not sure why. I think a lot of them are Trey Lance truthers. A lot of them are like those guys that like, he was the last pick. How can he be good? You know, some kind of guys. But He is.
The only reason I had him as a fade was that I was skeptical that he was going to finish healthy, that he was going to start the season healthy. And he's looked great. He's looked absolutely great. And kudos to the medical staff for getting him right. And kudos to him for doing all the work that I'm sure he needed to do, because it's not just like you were waiting to heal. You're doing that. So on this one, I mean, you're firing up Purdy. CMC, don't even think about it. I mean, gosh, he's the running back one, and what's that number? He's the running back one, and he's 26 fantasy points ahead of the RB2. I mean, he is just way out there. Anybody who picked him number three overall, something like that, you are just dancing in the streets right now. One thing that's interesting, the Cleveland defense just got, you know, they, in the game before the bye, Mark Andrews took them for 5 catches and 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. So could that be good for Kittle for this week?
I think it has to be good for Kittle. Like, that defense has not allowed a rushing touchdown. So I'm not saying CMC isn't going to score. I'm saying he's going to score by the receiving. I think a lot more pressure is going to be on Purdy to perform. I think it's going to be a Kittle CMC reception game, not a CMC rushing game. So, you know, if you have him in PPR, you're going to be really, really happy. But like I said, that defense, they were spectacular up until that game before. And I'm not sure what happened in that the game before the bye. But they I'm spacing on the DC's name. Schwartz. Schwartz
oh, has yeah, got Schwartz.
Them. Yeah, he's got them on all cylinders. Like, that getting Smith to play with Myles Garrett was like the icing on the cake, because now Garrett goes up and down the line and no one knows where he is. And if you don't know where Myles Garrett is, you're just in trouble.
Your quarterback's going to be on the ground.
Exactly.
He's gonna
there
be
is
flat.
No hope for you. So yeah. I think that is going to be such an interesting game. Both front sevens are spectacular. CMC going against, trying to score against them is just going to be, I can't wait. I mean, I don't really like either team, as you know, the Browns especially, because yuck, they're in my division. But I've never been a huge 49ers fan, and I'm not cheering for either team. I just want to watch it because I think it's going to be a really good game, like old school hard knock game.
Appreciating greatness. Now, we don't know if Deshaun Watson's going to play yet. He did not practice today being Wednesday. So keep an eye on the practice reports.
When's your report come out? Because I have
Deshaun Friday. Watson. Friday afternoon.
I'm on it.
So, yeah. Yes, again, injury prone podcast. Cross promoting here across the streams. And you know, the 49ers, their defense, they're number 8 against the running back. So that one's that one's tough. Now, San Francisco's 6.5-point favorites, and it's a 37.5-point over under. What's your call on that one?
I'm taking the Browns with points. I think it's going to be like a field goal game. Like, 6.5 is a lot of points to a team that's traveling across country and two defenses that are crazy. 36, you said?
37.5.
They have 38.5. So I'm going to go. Oh. No. I mean, I think it started at 38 and it went down. So I think I'm going to go over. Slightly. Not like, I don't think it's going to be a really large amount of points scored, but I think they're going to score more than 37 combined, 37, 38. Yeah. But I do want the Browns with the points.
I am calling the 49ers to win 20-17. So I think it's going to go under. So I think this is going to be a rock fight.
You're still taking the Browns in with the points?
So I'm taking the Browns okay. Plus the points and the under. So,
and the under.
So I'm going to do that. Yeah, I can see that one. And if Deshaun Watson can't go, I think that over under is going to fall.
I would go under if Deshaun Watson can't go. Although I do like DTR. I think
I do too. I'm a UCLA fan, so I got to watch his career. And in the USC game against Caleb Williams last year, they were both spectacular. But man, it really showed in that game against the Ravens.
He was in the Hall of Fame game too.
Yeah, he did. He looked he looked really good in the preseason.
Yes.
But
so did Kenny Pickett. So there you have it.
All right. So we're gonna go rapid fire.
Okay.
Washington, Atlanta. We've got it's at Atlanta.
Okay.
And it's 2.5 point favorites for the Falcons.
Atlanta with points.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. I'm going with you too. I think that's okay. Minnesota at Chicago. Minnesota, the just lost Justin Jefferson, going on the IR today. Minnesota is 2.5 point favorites, 44.5 point over under.
They're only 2.5 points favorite?
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm gonna go Chicago without Jefferson. He's gonna have to find someone. Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. And I have faith in Justin Fields scoring lots of points.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Bears. I think Justin Fields is going to continue. In fact, I predicted that you're going to see this in Yahoo on Friday, I believe. Thursday or Friday, I forget which day. My pick is Justin Fields is going to go off again. So yeah, we're going to see that one. All right, Carolina at Miami. So Miami, you know, another injury. Devon Achane is going to be missing for at least 4 weeks, but hopefully gets better. Hopefully doesn't need surgery. So that's still questionable. So Miami, 13.5 point favorites.
Carolina's defense, Carolina's secondary is down. Like they don't have anyone that they started with. So Miami's going to take full advantage of that. I hate to take that big a favorite, but I'm taking Miami with the points.
Yeah, I think this is a game that could be like 35-10.
Yeah.
I don't know how many points Carolina is going to score, but yeah, I think Miami's going to do whatever they want with them. So we got Indianapolis at Jacksonville. So the Jaguars are 4 point favorites in Jacksonville.
Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew. Minshew mania going back home. Minshew. Revenge game.
Exactly. Jacksonville coming back from, I'm going to pick Jacksonville. Although Gardner Minshew always makes it interesting, and it's his first start. And what's this? What's the spread?
4.
Yeah, I'm taking Jacksonville still.
That one's I could, you know, this is a game that could be like, you know, 24-17 or it could be 24-21. I'm gonna do Indy. I'm going to do Indy covering. I think Jacksonville wins, but it'll be a field goal game, not 4 points. So we'll see that. I love that. What did he say? I missed that one. Yes, take his receptions, and that's it. That's it. Yeah. Everybody else, you just sit them all. Just sit them all. Yeah, Miles Sanders, all those guys, sit them all.
You're not the Broncos, Mr. Scampers. Be thankful for that.
All right, New Orleans at Houston. The Saints are 1.5 point favorites, so it's basically a pick'em game in Houston.
I'm taking Houston. CJ Stroud all day long. Boy, slinging it.
I like it. I like it. I think. You know what? I think it's going to be the better. I think Stroud is going to be the better quarterback that day. And it's at home. I think I'm with you on that one. All right. The game, I don't know who wants to watch it. New England at Las Vegas. Both teams are tough watches right now. The Raiders did pull out the win. Las Vegas, 3 point favorites. I know that Devontae Adams has a questionable tag on him, but who you got on this one?
Doesn't really matter. They didn't even target him last Monday or whatever. Hardly. Jacoby Myers. It was a Jacoby Myers show. New England is historically bad. I'm not sure what's going on there. Mac Jones can't his receivers. I'm going Las Vegas. I'm taking Vegas at home.
Yeah, I don't see them doing it. Yeah, this is Josh McDaniels getting over his old head coach. So I know Belichick has had a habit of in his career kind of laying down for his former assistants when they become coordinators. So we'll see about that one. Arizona at the Rams. The Rams in SoFi Stadium, 7 point favorites. This is going to be a big over under, 48.5 points.
7 points. I think Arizona holds them close. So I'm going to take Arizona on the points and go over. Oh, wait. No James Conner, right?
Right. No, just, no James Conner. Yeah. Amari de Mercado.
Yeah. No. I'm going to go the Rams and still – I'm going to go the Rams and go under them. I think it – Joshua Dobbs is doing a hell of a job, and I love Joshua Dobbs. Loved him at Tennessee. Loved him when he was a Steeler. But I don't know that they can keep up with Puka, Cooper, and Tutu. That's a formidable. That's a formidable threesome right there.
Isn't that three less imposing names right there?
I know, right?
I love the way you said that. Puka, Cooper, and Tutu. These are football names. R.I.P. Dick Butkus. But they were talking about Peter King was talking about like the all time tough guy names. Dick Butkus and Bronco Nagurski. So yeah, we got Puka, Tutu, and Cooper. Oh, Amiga, thank you for the laugh. Thank you for the laugh on this one. All right. So Philadelphia at the Jets. So tough game here. So we've got Philadelphia is favored by 7 points in this one. So in New York or New Jersey.
Dude, I think the Jets are on an emotional high. I don't know if they recover from that. I'm going to have to take Philly. I think Philly is starting to hit their stride. They're 5-0, and people are talking about them like they've lost, like, three games. They're 5-0. So I think this is actually going to be the Devontae Smith game because, Dallas got his last week. AJ's been getting his. It's Devontae's time. And the Jets can be had in the middle of the field. As good as they're – plus it
– Oh, yeah. Number 32 against the tight end. So maybe it's a Dallas Goedert game.
I hope so because I have him.
Ha ha. All right. I think the Jets have a habit of making games ugly. I think they lose, but I think they cover the 7 points. I hate giving up big numbers on to road teams. So all right. So Detroit at Tampa Bay. Detroit is 3-point favorites. Tampa Bay coming off of its bye in Tampa.
What is the status of Amon-Ra?
That one we don't know yet.
And Mike Evans, we don't know either.
Yeah, both of them.
Detroit is notorious. Jeff Goff is notoriously not as good away as he is at home.
Yep.
I'm going to go Tampa Bay. I think the Baker Mayfield resurgence continues for a couple more games.
How great is that?
I know, right?
I hope he lasts the whole season because I've got him as my third quarterback on almost every one of my super flex and best ball teams. So I need him to last so that he could at least sub in. But he's been fantastic.
And
I've had him on the bench a lot, and I just don't know. I've got to put him in the lineup at some point. Okay, so national audiences, they can rest assured that they get back the New York Giants at Buffalo on Sunday Night Football, and it's 14-point Buffalo spread.
Buffalo's pissed about the whole London debacle. Buffalo's going to beat them badly. I fear for Daniel Jones's life, quite honestly. I don't know the Mario Brothers underground theme. I'm sorry. I'm not a not a game person, Mr. Scampers. I don't know how that goes.
We got to find that. Oh, man. I can't see. I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, I know that the Bills have had some significant injuries on their defensive side. They got Von Miller back, so that's gonna make things tough on Daniel Jones. I look at that one and it's gonna be a rough day. I think this is a game where Buffalo and where Josh Allen's gonna want to do whatever he wants. I think he could say I'm gonna put 49 up today and just he'll get there. He'll get
the Jackie Robinson call. I'm going to steal first. I'm going to steal second. I'm going to steal third.
Exactly. And then deliver.
And then deliver.
So, love that. Love that. All right, Monday Night Football. We've got Dallas at the Chargers, SoFi Stadium. So back-to-back games at SoFi Stadium. Dallas, 2.5-point favorites, 50.5 over-under. I think we are all expecting this game to go over, even though Dallas defense, even though they got punched in the nose last week. I think both teams are going to score some points, but what's your call on who covers?
I think the Chargers should win. Eckler's back. I'm assuming Eckler's
back. Yes. He said 99% that he's back.
I love it that he loves fantasy football. Yes. I think the Chargers should win. I don't have that much confidence in Brandon Staley, unfortunately. So I'm going to have to go Dallas covers the points because Staley will find a way to let the other team end the game in the second half.
I think the Chargers do win, but yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game. Very scary game. And yes, we know that Kellen, it's a revenge game for Kellen Moore too, but yeah, for some reason, Staley likes to make things interesting when it comes to when it comes to games. So, mi amiga, this has been un gran placer. It's been awesome.
So much.
One last thing. You're you're in Colorado. I want to know your favorite Mexican food takes.
So I don't know. Like people who listen to the Saturday podcast know this. I'm like a huge farmers market person. Like I go to the farmers markets all the time, and there's it's not technically Mexican food, but, and I'm a really big baby, like on spicy things, but there are these two vendors. One's called El Rio, I think. And he does peppers. Like he, it's in a rotisserie, like before we get there. So you get them and they're already like steamed. I go to him and then it's really weird. And then there's this lady who has, I'm a vegan. There's this lady who does vegan tamales. And I never had a tamale in my life. And I stopped by her thing, and it's called Crumbles. She's called Crumbles, her business. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll try it. And she had to tell me how to cook a tamale. And I have had her vegan crumbled tamales and the peppers. I slice them up and saute them and then steam the tamales and put them together. And that has been my thing on Saturdays.
Gosh, you make me hungry. You mentioned you don't like the hot spice. Tamales, you can eat them. They don't need anything. I mean, you can put a little a mild salsa on them if you want to just add a little flavor to them. But really, I mean, just solo, they're
so
absolutely
good.
Fantastic.
If you guys are in Denver, Crumbles, Crumbles is what it is. All their stuff is vegan. And there's like three different kinds of tamales that she has. And I may or may not get all three different kinds. I'm not saying that I do. And they're all good. And the peppers, like I said, I'm a big baby, but I go, when I get the peppers, I'm like, I want one of each, like the half pound or the quarter pound of each. And then I just, like, I don't know which ones are hot by looking at them because I don't know that much about peppers. So I chop each one up and saute them. And then like the last night I was like to my sister, I'm like, holy hell, this is the hottest pepper I've ever had in my entire life. She's like, that's why you ask what they are. And I'm like, no, that would take the fun out of it. That would take the fun out of doing it. But yeah.
Awesome. Hey, before we go, we got a question. CeeDee Lamb and Gibbs for DJ Moore, Rashad White, and Stroud.
So he's getting CeeDee Lamb and
Jamar? I think giving up.
Oh, no. No, I don't. Okay, Gibbs is hurt. And yes, Montgomery is dominating that backfield. So you're going Gibbs for Rashad White and CeeDee Lamb for DJ Moore. The Stroud is what's bothering me. Like, I would not give up CJ Stroud.
Well, I like the DJ Moore White Stroud side more. So if I'm getting that, yeah, I want that.
I thought he was giving that up to get CeeDee Lamb and Gibbs. Should I do CeeDee Lamb and Gibbs for? So he's giving up CeeDee Lamb and Gibbs and he's getting DJ Moore.
Like, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, if you're getting Stroud, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Stroud, White, Moore. I think Moore is going to be Moore. Even when they were when the offense was not functional, he was seeing targets. So
yeah, Moore and Stroud, I'm okay with. It's the Rashad White that kind of bothers me. But I mean, if Evans is out, there's going to be somebody else that has to be a pass catching running back. I want Stroud. So
yeah, yes. Gibbs could be good in the second half, but right now until he's got to get healthy first.
He's got to get healthy and take away that backfield from Montgomery, which he had like 50 carries one day.
I don't think that's going away anytime soon. He looks like he's in control of that backfield. So oh man, well, mi amiga, we're gonna close up shop.
Yes,
please feel free. Please feel free. Pump anything you got.
Well, tonight or tomorrow night should be coming out the defenses. All right. People, we're making defenses sexy again. So these are defenses that are not sexy that you should attack with the quarterback, the running back, and tight end, wide receiver. And then Thursday, the Start Sit article for Going for Two. And also, so I do a Thursday showdown article for Gridiron Expert. Listen to the stats that I put in. Do not follow the lineup that I put in because my lineups so far have been trash. So listen to the stats. My stats are good. And after I put my lineup in and after I, the next day, I'm like, ah, yeah, why didn't I follow my own stats? I don't ever do that. So Thursday would be that one. And Mr. Scampers and Dame Overboard, you both should have tamales tonight. Dress them up, baby. Do it. You should always have tamales. Thank you so much for having me. You are the consummate person. I adore you. I appreciate you so much. I can't even quantify how much I appreciate you.
Oh, mi amiga, just sending you a hug to Denver. Sending you a hug to Denver. And yes, even the Nuggets who beat my Lakers. So, no, but thank you so much. Thank you so much. And everybody, thank you for joining us in the chat.
Yes, thank you.
You guys are awesome. So otra vez, yes, excellent show. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Scampers. Everybody, make sure, you know, please make sure you're following Gladys. You can follow me at Jorge Martin 17 on Twitter. Make sure you're following Familia FFB on YouTube. So keep putting out content at least one show a week. I might cut up a couple of these and make them shorter shows to on the game breakdowns, but just keep coming back to Familia FFB. Keep coming
back.
You
guys do it. Yeah. There's no better place to be.
Yeah, and you'll see a couple more articles coming from me from Yahoo this week. So get ready for your weeks. Week six, it's here. Enjoy the baseball playoffs. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia. Salud.
Thank you.